I earned my degree online at Arizona State University. I chose to get my degree at ASU because I knew that I'd get a quality education, they were recognized for excellence, and that I would be prepared for the workforce upon graduating. To be associated with ASU, both as a student and alum, it makes me extremely proud, and having experienced the program, I know now that I'm set up for success. Learn more at asuonline.asu.edu.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details. Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Some hauntings don't arrive with a whisper. Some don't build slowly or politely. Some announce themselves with a single moment, a single night, so sharp and wrong that it scars the memory for decades. For her, it began in the 1980s in the house she grew up in, a place that should have been ordinary, a place where childhood should have taken shape gently. Instead, it set the stage for something that would follow her for the rest of her life. She wasn't home that night. Her uncle was. He'd agreed to watch the house while she was out, nothing unusual. He was the type who didn't scare easily, older, practical, not one to jump at shadows. But when she stepped through the front door later that evening, she found him standing stiff in the middle of the living room, his face bone white and his hands visibly shaking. The house looked ransacked, closets wide open, cabinet doors hanging unlatched, every interior door ajar as though someone had rushed through each room, flinging them open with frantic abandon. The air felt stirred, disturbed, as if whatever had moved through the house had just been there moments before. Nah. Her uncle pointed toward her bedroom with an expression she had never seen on him. Pure, unfiltered fear. He told her the phone had rung, and the moment it did, he heard someone sprinting, actual running footsteps from the direction of her bedroom. They'd run to the phone, picked it up, but never said a word. When the caller phoned back, they told her uncle the same thing. Someone answered, breathing on the line, but silent. He was certain someone was in the house, so certain that he'd ripped open every closet, every cabinet, every door, trying to find the intruder. But no one was there. No prints, no open windows, no signs of forced entry. Just the phone left off the hook on the floor, as if dropped by someone who was trying to leave in a hurry. That was the first moment she became aware that something in that house was watching her. Not the family, not her uncle, her. Growing up, it always centered around her room, the same room her uncle swore the phantom footsteps came from. There were scratching sounds inside the closet at night, quiet at first, then louder, more deliberate. Not the scurry of an animal, not wood settling, something responsive. A sound that stopped when she moved and started again when she lay still. Sometimes, as she drifted to sleep, she would hear pounding, heavy, rhythmic, coming from the attic space directly above her bed. No one went up there. There were no pipes, no appliances, no explanation. But the pounding came and went like some unseen thing was announcing its presence. She tried to ignore it. Children are masters at pretending the unexplainable is merely imagination. But a part of her understood even then that something wasn't right. Something in that house wasn't simply moving around. It was interacting. When she got married, she left the house behind. She left the bedroom, the closet, the attic, the pounding, the whispering. She told herself it would end as soon as she walked away. But it didn't. It followed her. The footsteps came first, quick, hurried, padding down the hallway of her new home as though someone small and fast was sprinting straight for her bedroom. She would freeze as the steps stopped right beside her bed, as if someone stood there staring. Then the attacks began. The first time it pulled her off the bed, she thought she was having a nightmare. She woke on the floor, throat burning, chest tight. Her husband insisted she must have rolled off the bed. But she knew the truth. The thing had wrapped something around her neck, hands, or something shaped like hands, and yanked. It happened again and again. Always the same sensation, fingers squeezing, tightening, preventing her from screaming, from moving, from breathing. The violence was unmistakable. It wanted to choke her. It wanted her silent. One night, she stayed up alone watching a movie long after her husband had gone to bed. The film was ending when she heard a distinct sound from the recliner beside her, the thick, leathery exhale of a seat cushion rising as if someone had just stood up from it. Then came footsteps once more, walking away from the chair and down the hall toward her room. She sat there frozen. She had been wide awake. Her husband had later said she must have drifted off, but she hadn't. She remembered every second, and more importantly, she wasn't the only one hearing things anymore. Her oldest son began to complain about footsteps too, rapid, heavy, unmistakable. They would run down the hallway in broad daylight. Doors would slam, rooms would be entered, though no one else was home. He would lock himself in his room just to keep the hallway out of sight. At night, his loft bed rattled, pictures shook on his walls. His friends had witnessed things too, footsteps in the kitchen, objects thrown off counters, doors swinging on their hinges. They stopped staying over. And then her son stayed outside with the dog while waiting for her to come home. Even the dog saw it or sensed it. Some nights he would stand at the mouth of that long hallway, the one that led to her bedroom, and growl with his hackles raised. He would back away slowly, terrified, eyes fixed on something she couldn't see. Then came the night that changed everything, the night that made every other encounter feel like nothing. She was asleep on her side, her back to her husband. She woke to the warmth of someone slipping into bed behind her, arms around her waist, a leg hooking around hers in an intimate embrace. For a moment, she smiled, thinking it was her husband. But then she heard it, a giggle, high, mischievous, childlike, and wrong. The grip tightened, too thin, too cold, too eager. And then she realized the body pressed against her was not human, not by any stretch of the imagination. The thing behind her pressed closer, its limbs impossibly long, its skin cold as river stone. She tried to turn her head, to twist just enough to see who or what was holding her, but the thing's arm tightened like a vise around her ribs. Air left her lungs in a rush. She opened her mouth to scream, but nothing came out. The giggling grew louder, vibrating against the back of her neck, a sound that was wrong in every possible way. Playful, delighted, but edged with something predatory. The kind of laughter a child might make while plucking the wings off an insect, her free arm, her only free arm, jerked upward on instinct. She aimed for the creature's face, desperate to claw at its eyes, anything to make it loosen its grip. Her fingers found skin, but not warm, living skin. It was cold and papery, like touching a damp leaf. She drove her thumb toward what should have been an eye. Instead, she found emptiness, a hollow socket, a void where an eye should be, and the creature laughed harder. Not a scream, not anger. It sounded amused. Her heart hammered, her vision dimmed around the edges. She could feel her body shutting down from lack of oxygen. The creature's grip tightened again, ribs compressing, breath shrinking. Lightheadedness washed over her in dizzying waves, and the last thing she remembered before everything went black was that laugh, high and thin and echoing through her skull. When she opened her eyes again, she was alone. The room was silent. Her husband snored softly beside her, but she was trembling, covered in sweat, ribs aching, her scalp still tingling where the creature had twirled her hair between its fingers. The imprint of its long, spindly arm lingered like a bruise she couldn't see but could still feel. For a week afterward, she barely slept. Every time she closed her eyes, she imagined that cold body curling behind her, that hollow-eyed face pressing into the back of her neck. She jumped at every creak in the house, every shift of the mattress, every sigh of the floorboards settling. It felt like the thing had marked her, like it knew her now, and could slip in and out of her life whenever it wanted. She kept telling herself she didn't believe in ghosts, not really. She had spent her entire childhood dismissing the sounds in the old house, pushing away the fear. She wanted the world to be explainable, logical, safe. But logic had never climbed into bed with her. Logic had never wrapped itself around her and giggled into her ear. And deep down she knew this wasn't simply haunting her. It was targeting her. As the attacks increased, so did her confusion. Why her? Why now? What had she done or seen or survived that caught the attention of something like that? There were things she had buried so deeply she rarely allowed herself to think about them. Childhood traumas locked away like old photographs in a box under the bed. A father who abandoned her when she needed him most. A mother who died too soon. Years of feeling unprotected, unwanted, unseen. And then the worst of it. Those nights she never spoke about. Nights when she was hurt by people who should have protected her. Nights when doors closed instead of opening. Nights when silence swallowed her screams. By her teens, the weight of it all pushed her into anger. Rage at God, at life, at herself. And then into despair. The kind of despair that made her want to disappear from the world entirely. She wondered in her darkest moments if something had attached itself to her back then. If her pain, her fear, her sense of being alone in the universe had created a crack wide enough for something else to slip through, something that fed on that darkness, that recognized it, that found nourishment in it. Because it was always there. Always her it came for. Not her husband, not her siblings. Her. Something about her seemed to call to it, and now it had started targeting her son. She hadn't told him about her experiences growing up, not the attacks, not the choking, not the footsteps that ran toward her bed in the middle of the night. She wanted to protect him from that fear. But fear doesn't need a story to exist, as sometimes it recognizes itself, and her son came to her pale-faced, shaken, telling her, he heard running in the hallway when no one was home. Doors slamming, beds shaking, cabinets opening on their own photos, trembling on the wall as if something walked past them with real force. For a moment, she wanted to dismiss it. Tell him he imagined it, that the mind can play tricks on you when the house is quiet. But she saw herself in his eyes, that same terrified confusion she had felt as a child. And she knew he wasn't imagining anything. Whatever this thing was, it wasn't limited to one house or one stage of her life. It traveled. It observed. It watched her family the same way it had watched her. Even the dog saw it. Some nights he would freeze at the entrance of the hallway, body stiff, eyes fixed on the darkness beyond. Then he'd back away slowly, growling. Not a defensive growl, but a fearful one. As if he saw something standing there. Something that didn't belong in this world. She followed his gaze every time, hoping she would see nothing. She never did, but the dog did. Animals always know. The longer she lived with it, the more she knew this wasn't a haunting in any traditional sense. This wasn't the ghost of someone who once lived and died. It wasn't a residual echo. It wasn't even random, it was personal. It had been with her since she was 7, still with her at 36, still pressing in on her life in ways she never invited, never wanted, never asked for. And she could feel it watching the cracks in her strength, waiting. Waiting for her to break again, waiting for her to fall back into the person she used to be. That angry, wounded girl who had once invited despair like a companion. She feared not just for her safety, but for her soul. Because sometimes the thing haunting you doesn't want your fear. Sometimes it wants your surrender. As she moved deeper into adulthood, the question stopped being, is this real? And became, why me? It wasn't just curiosity anymore. It was exhaustion. It was the weight of decades spent pretending she wasn't terrified. Of the footsteps, of the hands, of that giggling thing with an empty eye socket and a grip like a vice. Of waking up in the middle of the night wondering if there was something in the room with her that didn't sleep, didn't breathe, and didn't age. She started tracing the timeline in her head, connecting dots she'd avoided looking at too closely. 7 years old, the house, the phone, the footsteps in her room, the sounds from the attic. 6 years old, her father leaving. Not long after, the abuse. Teenage years, rape, trauma on top of trauma, rage boiling over. Her faith torn apart, burned, abandoned, and somewhere along that line, something stepped through the crack. She wondered if it started as a whisper in the dark, a presence that simply watched, circling her pain like a vulture. Maybe it hadn't always meant to touch her. Maybe it just fed on the storm inside her, anger at God, hatred of herself, the quiet, constant wish that she didn't exist. Energy like that doesn't just disappear, it lingers. It calls. By the time she realized something intelligent was haunting her, it already knew her intimately. She could admit now that there was a time when she might have been easy to break. Those years when she was furious at God, when hatred felt safer than hope, when suicide seemed like the only door that didn't lead back into the same room. If the thing had been trying to drag her down then into despair, into darkness, into whatever waited beyond giving up, she probably would have followed. But she didn't. Somewhere along the way, she stopped running from God and started running toward him. It didn't happen in a single moment. No cinematic beam of light, no choir, but slowly, painfully, she gave the broken pieces of her life back to the only place she thought they might have meaning. The anger became grief. The grief became surrender. The surrender became love. And that's when the pattern changed. The thing didn't go away. It didn't back off. It doubled down. It squeezed her throat when she slept. It pulled her off beds. It climbed in behind her and wrapped its limbs around her like it was trying to claim her, mark her, make her remember what it felt like to be that helpless little girl again. The stronger her faith became, the more it tried to drag her backward. She didn't see it as a coincidence. How could she? Whatever this was, it didn't behave like a mindless entity. It responded. It escalated. It felt like a presence that knew where her cracks were and drove its fingers into them. She stopped calling it a ghost in her own mind. Ghosts belong to stories. This felt different, more deliberate, more strategic. If it couldn't have her, it seemed prepared to go after something else, her son. That was the part she couldn't forgive. It was one thing to target her, to watch her, to hurt her, scare her, corner her. She had lived with that since childhood. She had adapted. But hearing her son talk about being alone in the house and hearing footsteps run down the hallway, doors opening, closing, slamming, his door flying open and then slamming again with no one there, that was different. He'd stand in his doorway staring into the hall she had stared down 1,000 times in her own childhood and feel the same invisible weight bearing down on him, the same not quite emptiness. He started waiting outside for her with the dog whenever he knew he'd be alone too long. She watched him and saw an echo of herself at his age, trying to be rational, trying to be brave, trying to explain away the unexplained, but still checking behind him every time he walked down a dark hallway. Why is it messing with him? She asked herself over and over. Is it because he's mine? Because fear runs in bloodlines the way trauma does? Because whatever this thing is, it figures if it can't break me, it can break my son. Instead, There were nights she sat in the living room with every light on, listening to the hush of the house, wondering if this was the next step in whatever game it was playing. A generational haunting. Not of a house, of a family. She'd had the house blessed more than once. She'd prayed, cried, anointed door frames, invited pastors, smudged corners with sage until the air thickened with smoke. It never really left. It might quiet down, go dormant, lurk outside the edges of awareness, but sooner or later something would drag it back into focus. A laugh in the dark, a grip on her leg, the sound of someone getting off the recliner when no one was sitting there. She knew then what she had always suspected. It wasn't tethered to the house. It wasn't tethered to any building at all. It was tethered to her. And if it was tethered to her, then as long as she was around, everyone she loved was within range. That realization hurt more than the bruises on her throat ever did. So where does a story like this end? She's 36 now. The year is 2009. The little girl who lay awake listening to something pound above her bed has grown into a woman who has survived more than most people ever know. And she's still being dragged awake by something that doesn't breathe, doesn't sleep, and doesn't age. She doesn't call herself crazy. She can't. The experiences are too consistent, too physical, too widely witnessed. Her uncle saw part of it. Her son lived part of it. Her son's friends heard it too and ran from it. Her dog growls at empty hallways and backs away from shadows that aren't there. She doesn't call herself a victim anymore either. She's tired. She's scared. She's human. But she's not the broken, angry child she once was. Not the girl standing on the edge of every emotional cliff, wondering if it would feel like relief to jump. She loves God now with something fierce and stubborn. A love born from surviving what should have destroyed her. That love doesn't magically erase the terror. It doesn't shield her from waking up with something wrapped around her body and laughing in her ear. But it gives her a center, something this thing can't quite reach, which might be exactly why it keeps trying. Some nights when she lies awake listening to the house creak and sigh, she can feel it. Not touching her, not attacking, just watching, waiting. Studying the contour of her exhaustion, the shape of her doubts, it doesn't feel random. It feels like a contest, a quiet, ongoing struggle for the direction of her soul. She doesn't pretend to have the answers. She doesn't know whether this thing is a demon, an attachment, a manifestation of spiritual warfare, or something that doesn't even have a name in human language. She doesn't know why it chose her at 7 years old, why it wouldn't let go at 16, or why it's now pressing in on her children's lives. But she knows this. It hasn't won. She is not the weak, sad, angry girl it first found. She's a woman who has walked through abandonment, abuse, grief, rage, and terror, and still chooses love over bitterness, faith over despair. Maybe that's why it's still here. Maybe it can't stand losing. Maybe it's waiting for her to slip, or maybe in some twisted way, it's drawn to the strength that tried to destroy and failed. Either way, when she lies in bed now, she does something she couldn't do at 7 or 13 or 20. She fights back. Sometimes it's with whispered prayers. Sometimes it's with the sheer stubbornness, refusing to be afraid even when every cell in her body screams at her to be. Sometimes it's just with the decision to get out of bed, make breakfast, love her son, take another step into a life it hasn't managed to steal. The footsteps still run down the hallway. The dog still growls. Every now and then, in the deep hours of the night, she feels the mattress dip behind her and feels something pause, considering. But she isn't the same, and it knows that. So the haunting continues. So does she. And somewhere in the dark, just out of sight, that thing that has followed her since childhood waits, watching, patient. Because some battles don't end with a final scare or a priest's blessing. Some of them stretch across a lifetime, and sometimes the scariest hauntings aren't about a house at all. They're about whether, after everything you've survived, you'll let the darkness pull you back into who you used to be. Or keep choosing over and over again to be someone it can't quite reach.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.